we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Political persecution through the legal system has become the new American justice, but it can work both ways if we have the courage. This is Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and welcome to America Out Loud Pulse on America Out Loud Talk Radio. President Calvin Coolidge was a strong proponent of limited government, and he believed that in order for the Constitution and self-government to survive, the people had to be vigilant in its preservation. COVID-19 started a government and media censorship juggernaut. It's imperative that we all join to stop it in its tracks. Medical freedom for doctors and patients is becoming a distant memory. Physicians are afraid to go into pain management for fear of being labeled a pill pusher. Patients with chronic pain are resorting to getting heroin on the streets rather than be put in a government database. Physicians are bullied by medical boards with the specter of losing their licenses for having valid alternative views regarding medical treatment plans. Well, you know me, I love some quotes, so I just want to give you a few on our topic tonight. Graham Greene, the novelist, said, "Heresy is another word for freedom of thought." Albert Einstein said, "Blind belief in authority is the greatest enemy of truth." And Adlai Stevenson, a Democrat from a different age, said, "All progress has resulted from people who took unpopular positions." And then Carl Sagan, a famous astronomer, said, "The cure for a fallacious argument is a better argument, not the suppression of ideas." And finally, our old friend Thomas Jefferson, "When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Well, lawyers, who we all know can strike fear into our hearts, can be a big part of preserving our liberty. The legal fights to rein in government overreach are about more than COVID. Lawyers are here to help protect the rights of us, the individual citizens. They're our last defense against government oppression and corporate corruption. Lawsuits can amplify a few lone voices and let those in power get the message. Our bodies and our minds belong to us, not to the government. Attorney Andy Schlafly is a wonderful friend of the show, and he's general counsel to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And he's going to discuss freedom of speech and a recent medical case on freedom of speech headed to the Supreme Court. Andy is general counsel, as I said, to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. He received a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering and a Certificate in Engineering Physics from Princeton. After graduating from Princeton, he briefly worked as a device physicist for Intel, then became a microelectronics engineer at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. Then, he attended Harvard Law School along with Barack Obama. And for 2 years, he was an editor of the Harvard Law Review. After law school, Mr. Schlafly served as an adjunct professor at Seton Hall Law School and worked for a large law firm before beginning private practice. Welcome to the show, Andy Schlafly.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's such an honor and a joy to be on your terrific show here. It's so informative, and I look forward to our discussion.
Well, I have a question for you, and this is probably the hardest question I'll ask you all night. Does Harvard even accept people like you anymore?
That's a good question. I think if someone flies in below the radar and is not too outspokenly conservative, then he can still get into Harvard. But there was actually an instance of Harvard College revoking its admission of a student because it did not like what he had said on social media. So this is a real terrible time we live in, Maryland, where academic achievement is now being subordinated to ideological political correctness.
Well, it's really sad because I remember the time when we were thrilled when academic achievement overcame various social issues and reasons why they were keeping people out of college, whether it was their race or they weren't hoity-toity enough to get into a Seven Sisters school. And then we went to, hey, if you got good grades and you were active in school, you could get in, and we weren't going to look at the color of your skin. How times have changed.
Things have become so politicized in higher education, Maryland. It's tragic to see it get worse and worse each year, where it's difficult now for a conservative even to speak at one of these liberal colleges that used to be so prestigious and used to be committed to academic excellence. Now they seem committed only to a liberal ideology that does not include freedom of speech.
Well, what's sad to me that's worse than even college, because perhaps the 18-year-old is enough to think twice, but they're starting to indoctrinate children. Out here in California, there's a school in Hayward that had, they use this program called Woke Kindergarten, if you can imagine. And they were teaching, all this woke stuff to kindergartners and doing all these segregation exercises and whatnot. Now the school apparently has dropped it because there was so much backlash. But the fact that some fool made this program up and that an even more foolish school principal picked it up and thought it was a good idea to raise grades. But what was so ironic, they offered this program to low performing schools, that this school's performance actually worsened after the program. It's like they didn't figure out they should be teaching reading and math and not political stuff.
Exactly. And I will say that these days, the children are not easily learning how to read. And there are a variety of factors for this. But for these elementary schools to be diverting their resources to indoctrination rather than focusing on teaching kids how to read, there in your audience, if those of you who have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, friends, whatever, take a look at how well the 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds are learning how to read. And it's not very well these days. And it's part of it is maybe the rise in autism and other issues, distractions. Everyone's playing video games, particularly the boys. But the good readers are few and far between now, Marilyn.
Well, it's really sad because I used to lament that Americans were so terrible because most of us only speak one language and people from other countries speak whatever their country's native language is and English. Even in China, Korea, where the language is quite different. And now we're getting behind the curve where we can't even write our own language. Something's wrong with this picture.
Certainly is something wrong. And I think not enough adults realize this. We put our kids or grandchildren into schools and we think that the schools are getting the job done and they're not. And the child gets to be third, fourth grade and whoa, the child cannot read. And it gets harder as the child gets older. That's something not everyone recognizes, but there's certain skills. Maybe like swimming, for example. If you can learn it when you're young, you'll be a great swimmer your entire life. If you sort of wait till you're an adult and then try to learn how to swim, you can do it but it's a lot more difficult.
Well, that's true. And some people say that unless you learn a new language by age 7, that you'll still keep an accent from wherever you came from. Now, obviously, there's some people who don't fit into that category, but, as a generalization, the mind is so, what's that, malleable and open when you're young. And, sadly, our minds start to close off year after year after year and don't absorb things anymore. So
Yes, and that's right, Marilyn. Further on that point, I spoke to someone who worked at the United Nations, where they have a lot of the bilingual translators who can translate on the fly and at the United Nations, so that as the words come in one language, the translator spits them out in the other language and does that without any delay. And the person told me the only people who can do that are people who grew up in bilingual homes, that the expert linguists who learn multiple languages when they were an adult or in college or whatever, they're not able to do that on the fly translating. It's only those who learned both languages when they were 3, 4, 5 years old and spoke both languages growing up who can do that. And that's just a reminder that our children do need to learn basic skills, and they need to learn them early. And not wait till they're in eighth or ninth grade and start doing remedial programs, because it's so much harder then.
Right, it's too late. And what's really sad, my friend who has high school students in Silicon Valley, they're stopping AP classes, advanced placement classes, and throwing everybody with different skills and different levels together. That's some sort of new project for equity. Well, what happens to the kids? The AP level children are going to get bored. They may not even get into good colleges because they haven't had AP courses. And people who've gone to other schools have had the opportunity to take advanced placement. Something's wrong.
It's a
Oh, thank
shame if you.
goodness we're so perfect.
It's a shame to see that in Silicon Valley, where they have all that wealth and talent, and their kids are not going to be able to get in the best colleges. I mean, that's beyond ironic.
Well, the thing that's interesting, and a lot of us talk about this, is you have to let things get so bad, like have their children not get into good colleges when their whole life they were imagining that they were going to get into good colleges, to make them realize that this new wave of indoctrination rather than education has gone too far. It's not working. It's not helping anybody. And it's just making things worse. And hopefully they'll figure it out. But their kids are the sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, maybe then the next generation will learn from that mistake, but it's too bad to lose a generation to this indoctrination.
Well, it's sad because I remember when I was in high school, even history class or civics, there weren't politics as such. I remember the mayor came to our civics class. I wouldn't have known what political party he was. He certainly, I mean, I knew because my mother worked in his office. But from what he said in class, you'd never know. And he talked about things in general. And now there's actually a political point of view that the teachers are putting out there, and the kids are afraid to think because they might get a bad grade if they don't have the same opinion as the teacher.
And it wasn't that way when we were growing up, Marilyn. I mean, I cannot think of any instance in high school where I was concerned that if I said something that would not be liked ideologically by the teacher, that I would be downgraded for it. That was the academics were always above that sort of pettiness.
Well, they sure were. And we were above all this racial siloing, I have to say before the break, because I always think of this when I think about school and my younger days. In fifth grade, we were studying history. I went to Catholic school, and we were studying history of the Civil War. And the nun had us make up a play. And my classmate, Raul Valderrama, wrote the play. And I was the plantation owner. Me, a black girl, was the plantation owner. And Raul happened to be one of my slaves. Everyone in the class had a part. And I remember Raul's famous line. He runs up to me, and I have this mean, nasty look on my face. And he says, "I got bit by a boll weevil." And then he keels over dead. And I go, ha. That was childhood, how it should be. Stay away from those boll weevils. Well,
Delightful.
after the break, we're going to get into the Constitution and pick Andy's brain. He's so smart. That's why I love having him on the show. And we're going to talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, free speech, and just remind us of what the basis of our legal system is. And how we can keep it going. And some of the lawsuits, and AAPS just wrote a brief and a big censorship lawsuit. And we'll talk about that after the break. Thanks for listening. We always love to have you and know you're out there listening to the show. Flu season is just about over. I'll give you one last dose of Cofix RX just to get us through. Until hopefully we'll be in the summer, we won't have as many colds and flu around. But in the meantime, Cofix RX. It's a nasal spray. It's got povidone iodine and some xylitol, a couple squirts up the nose, and it kills most of the viruses. And when we get sick, about 95% of the viruses that make us sick and give us these respiratory illnesses come in through the nose. So if we can nip it in the bud with the nasal spray, all the better. We know that nothing is foolproof, but we've got to think of Cofix like an airbag. You do everything you can to stay healthy, stay safe. One of the wonderful things about it was invented in the USA. And it's manufactured in the USA. It's sold in health food stores, regular pharmacies, and you can find it on our website. We have a little button, click it on, read all about it, see if it's right for you.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Before the break, I tempted you with a Constitution talk, and I'm going to have Andy Schlafly just give us a little quickie constitutional lesson before we get into our free speech case. And just, what's the Bill of Rights? Why do we have it? And what does it mean? And what's the 14th Amendment? Why do they have that? And last question about the Constitution I'll ask him. We've heard about the living Constitution versus originalists. So I've given you a big plateful. Go for it, Andy.
Thank you, Marilyn. So the Constitution was drafted in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then there was a period of many months, in which it was debated and put up for ratification by the colonies. They were really states then because they were part of the Articles of Confederation. And all of these states ratified the Constitution after some debate. It was a close vote and so on. And Rhode Island waited. They did not ratify the Constitution until after George Washington was elected the first president. But the feeling was in many of the states that the Constitution, although a wonderful document, did not have enough protection of the people against the new federal government. And the Bill of Rights was promised to several states that it would be enacted to protect the people against a powerful federal government and protect their liberties. So some of the states, the major states that ratified it on the condition that there would be a Bill of Rights added later. And so sure enough, a couple of years later, 1791, the Bill of Rights was adopted, passed by Congress, and sent to the states for ratification. The states did ratify it, and there are 10 Bill of Rights, and they protect what was considered then to be our most fundamental liberties: freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, rights of criminal defendants, rights against cruel and unusual punishment, in criminal proceedings, the right to confront your adversary, the right not to self-incriminate when questioned as a defendant. So these are really, it's a beautiful, fabulous list of our most fundamental rights. The right to be free from an unreasonable search and seizure. And this is one that a lot of people forget today, that if the police come and knock on your home and say, we're the police, and they flash their badges and they show their guns and everything, and they say, we'd like to come in and look around, you have the right to say, do you have a search warrant? And if the answer is no, you have the right to decline their request to come in and look around in your home. Well, that is a remarkable liberty that makes our country special, Marilyn. And our Bill of Rights is filled with those rights. But right there in the First Amendment is what many would be considered to be, along with freedom of religion, our most fundamental right, and that's freedom of speech. And that really is unique to our country. Europe does not have a constitutional freedom of speech. Certainly communist countries don't have it. The United States, we have a freedom of speech. And what that means is the government cannot infringe on the everyday ability of you, Marilyn, myself, everyone in the audience to speak out on political issues and speak our mind. That's a essential freedom to a working republic that we have, or representative democracy and so on. And that's part of the Bill of Rights that was proposed and enacted there in 1791. Now, initially, it applied only against the federal government. Congress shall make no law infringing upon freedom of speech. But after 150 years, and after the Supreme Court rejected a couple attempts to apply that against the states, finally, the Supreme Court said, yes, this really should apply against the states. And the way they did it was through the 14th Amendment. So a little history about the 14th Amendment. As everyone in our audience knows, we had something called a Civil War there from 1861 to 1865, and that settled the issue of slavery. And the 14th Amendment was then enacted after the emancipation of the slaves to limit the power of the states to interfere with people's rights. So there was many concern among many people that even though the Civil War was over, that states, particularly the Southern states, would then infringe upon basic rights of individuals, particularly the former slaves, rights of due process, and so on. So the 14th Amendment was then ratified, and there's a little bit of a issue about its ratification. There's probably someone there in our audience who says, wait a minute, not so fast. Was that really ratified? Well, yes, historians say it was ratified, and the court said it was ratified, and got through with some Southern states enacting it. And that now incorporates the Bill of Rights and implies them against the states. So through the 14th Amendment, Maryland, all of us have the protections of the Bill of Rights against state government and local government. So we're now today, we're protected against all forms of government in the United States, against infringing on our freedom of speech and other infringements, infringement with unreasonable searches and seizures in our home, unreasonable arrests, things like that, the right not to self-incriminate. We're all protected against that by state government, by any government, not just the federal government. The right to a jury trial in civil cases when there's an amount of money at dispute. The right to a virtually unanimous jury verdict in criminal cases. There's been some question about that. The protection of a grand jury, which is not always the greatest protection in the world, or the strongest protection, but it's there. These are rights that are there in amendments 1 through 10. So our Constitution is a short document, Maryland. It's the finest in the world. It's the longest lasting in the world. And encourage everyone in our audience to look at it on the internet and just look at what some of these liberties are. The biggest mistake that Americans make is to forget that we have these protections and to forget that you can say no to someone, a government official trying to enter your home without a search warrant, to forget that you don't have to answer questions. You have a right not to self-incriminate. And Harold, I'll tell you, some of our highest government officials today, the way that they get prosecuted by the federal government is for supposedly making a false statement to an FBI agent or a government official. That's a crime, to make a false statement to an investigator, at least at the federal level. And what these officials don't realize, they don't have to answer questions. They don't have to make any statement to an official when stopped and asked questions. So Congressman Fortenberry in Nebraska, he was coming off a day's work on his farm, and there were FBI agents that said they'd like to ask him some questions about some of his campaign contributions. He did not have to answer any questions. He has a right not to self-incriminate. Now, he didn't feel he'd done anything wrong, so then he starts talking, he starts answering questions, and they say he got some of the answers wrong. And then they prosecuted and they convicted him, and that's been reversed on a technicality. But the moral of that story is we have that right in the Bill of Rights not to self-incriminate ourselves. We can decline to answer questions by an investigator. We say, no, thank you. I don't want to respond to that now. I'd like to check with my attorney. I'd like to see the questions in writing. I'd like to have the time to prepare responses. We have that right. That's guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. So it's a wonderful document, our Constitution. And I'm very pro-Constitution, as most Americans are. People on the left used to be pro-free speech. Many of them still are. But today, you'd be surprised how many people try to infringe on freedom of speech. And Elon Musk there, born in a foreign country, he took over Twitter. He's called it X. And he wants to make that a safe haven for freedom of speech because it's disappeared almost everywhere else, Maryland.
Well, now I have a question on the freedom of speech. Now, this applies to government making rules. And a lot of times people, they're in a private setting, you know, like their workplace or something like this, and they say, I have my rights, I have freedom of speech. Well, how does that work in the workplace? And, you know, let's accept a few workplaces that are considered state actors, but, you know, just a regular job, do you have freedom of speech?
Unfortunately, you don't. So the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech is a protection against government. So if you're in a private setting, you're on private property, you're in a workplace, which is owned privately by someone, you don't have freedom of speech. And so that is an important distinction. Thank you, Marilyn, for pointing that out. Sometimes we lose sight of that. The good news is if you're in your own home and someone comes in and wants to start saying things you really don't want to hear, you can ask them to leave, tell them to leave, because there's no freedom of speech in your home either. So that's the good side of that. There's no freedom of speech in your church. That's the other good side. If you're church or synagogue or mosque or whatever, and someone starts speaking out from the audience or the congregation, doesn't happen very often, but if they did, then that person could be asked to leave and told to leave, because there's no freedom of speech on private property. So, and that's, you know, we use that sometimes. We should use it sometimes. We should use it maybe more than we do, because we don't have to sit there and be offended on our own private property by someone we don't like. We don't like what they're saying. But it is a problem in the workplace. It means that workers can be fired. If they say something in the workplace that the employer doesn't like, they can be fired if they say something on social media, if the employers don't like it. And that's a becoming an issue, Marilyn, where people off the job, doing well on the job, they go home, they say something on social media, and then a troll sends that back to the employer, and then the employer says, I'm going to fire you. I don't like what you're saying on social media. That, Marilyn, is a little troublesome, I would say. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I guess part of it is it's sort of like, well, being a doctor and you being a lawyer, depending on who your clients are, if you said something that was really gross and, you know, pulled a Hunter Biden and, you know, put pictures of yourself in your underwear or something, that doesn't look good. It's not a professional thing to do. And if you were employed, you worked in a law firm, or I worked for one of these health services, and they saw that, I would probably fire me. So it's one of those things. And, you know, I always hate that word, the slippery slope, that's where it becomes very subjective. It depends on your boss. It depends on how awful it was, whatever it is you had to say. But certainly there's people who've been fired for saying MAGA and pro-Trump things and, you know, other political things on social media. And that, I think, is wrong. But, you know, if you get on there and do really foolish stuff and, you know, kind of nasty stuff, nobody wants to see it or hear it, certainly not your boss. And then more than what you actually said is, how stupid are you to have said it in the first place? So, you know, I have another question, and we just have a couple minutes before the break, and then we'll talk about the free speech case against Biden. What's originalism, and what does it mean to have a living constitution? Now, remember, even though you're a lawyer, you got to make this one quick.
So originalism is a conservative doctrine that we should adhere to the meaning of the Constitution when it was ratified, first in 1788, and then the Bill of Rights in 1791. So we're going back more than 200 years. Originalism says, what did they mean when that was adopted? And let's stick to that. And that's the type of constitutional interpretation that most conservatives use. Textualism is a branch of that, where it says, look at just the words there and what the words meant. Don't try to dig into what people intended. Just what did the words mean at that time? And that's what we're going to stick with today. If someone wants to change that, then they go through the constitutional amendment process to change it. The living constitution is the opposite of that. And it's the approach pursued by liberals, which say, listen, times change and culture changes, values change, and let's adopt the constitution with the changing trends in culture. So an example of that would be maybe the transgender issue. And someone who believes in a living constitution would say that, listen, transgender, that wasn't known of 250 years ago. It wasn't accepted, but we accept it today, the person would say. And therefore, let's interpret the Constitution to read into it some rights for people who are transgender or want to be transgender. That would be a living Constitution approach, that the Constitution is evolving to this day and should evolve.
Well, thank you. That's a great explanation. And one of the reasons we have laws and one of the reasons the Constitution was brought, and then we have these Congress critters who will make a law and broaden some of the language to hone it down and maybe give some transgender rights, but you don't need it in the Constitution. I mean, one of the best things about our country is this whole concept is we life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if you take that, we can make laws that go to that direction for everybody, for all of our citizens. Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a case that AAPS is involved in legally. And this is the case Murthy versus Missouri about censorship. So we'll talk about that after the break. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to America Out Loud Pulse. As you know, we are always a beat ahead. You can hear Pulse every weekday at 5 p.m. with an encore at 10 p.m. Eastern and on iHeartRadio at 8 a.m. the next morning. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. And the best part, all shows go direct to podcast in 24 hours. The episodes are on lots of podcast networks, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, and iHeart. So make it easy. Bookmark americaoutloud.news/pulse. Just to give you a lineup of the shows, I'm on Monday, Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Tuesdays, we've got Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Wednesday, Dr. Peter McCulloch and Malcolm Out Loud. Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Ross Bregan, and Fridays with epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Reich. That's not enough. We've got Nurses Out Loud Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. So thanks again for listening.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Before the break, I said that we are finally going to get down and talk to our big case that AAPS, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, has filed a brief to the Supreme Court in. So, Andy, will you tell us about the case and kind of its pathway through the courts and where we are now?
Be happy to, Marilyn. This is an exciting, fascinating case that can spark a lot of discussion. What the Biden administration was doing during COVID is they were contacting social media platforms and telling social media platforms like Facebook and so on, Twitter, to take down postings or make it harder to find postings that took positions about the handling of the COVID pandemic that the Biden administration did not like. So here we have government officials on taxpayer dollar spending time combing social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and so on. It was named Twitter back then, and there was it was run by liberals out of San Francisco back then, and contacting them and saying, take down this post, or we need you to do more to silence or make it harder to find. Shadow block is a term sometimes used. Harder to find these postings that are critical of how we're handling the COVID pandemic. For example, postings maybe have been critical of the mask mandates. And the Biden administration is there contacting social media and telling them to take action against those postings. So many people, I'm sure many in your audience, Maryland, got suspended by Twitter or Facebook or had some postings taken down by them. I still see some to this day on Facebook where I'll visit a friend or a potential friend and I'll sort of look through their postings and there'll be something that says this post was removed. It was inappropriate. Now, I understand removing things if it's obscenity or if it's talking about violence or something like that. I understand, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about here the removal of postings because they're ideologically different from what the people in the White House want to be said. And this is government now. This is exactly what the Bill of Rights was intended to protect against. Government going around and censoring people using the power of government, and it's very powerful. So if some of you are wondering, well, why did social media go along with what the Biden administration wanted? Well, first of all, they're on the same side ideologically, but more important than that, Biden and the White House can make things very difficult for social media if social media did not cooperate with these demands. Social media enjoys immunity from lawsuits, and there was talk by the Democrats in Congress of removing some of that immunity if the social media platforms did not cooperate in silencing people. And so, of course, social media cooperate. And there's just the intimidation factor, too. All of us, I think, would be affected if we got a call one day from someone in the White House urging us to do something. And the White House, of course, these officials are often, trained and quite skillful in asserting their authority and telling people to do things when they really have no right to tell them to do it. And 9 times out of 10, the person does it as ordered by the White House. So that's what was going on. Finally, the states of Missouri and Louisiana sued. They were joined later by some of the great websites like the Gateway Pundit, which I'm sure many in the audience are familiar with that website. It's quite colorful and news-breaking with some of its posts that no one else will post. And they all joined, and they objected to this censorship by the Biden administration. Now, initially, it was not known exactly the extent of the censorship. There was suspicion, but the proof wasn't there. They had to get discovery. And they got discovery, and sure enough, there were emails there from the White House to social media officials telling them to take down this, take down that, take action, because too many people are reluctant to go along with the government policies about COVID. And sort of the White House would portray this as a national crisis. So let's all get on the same page here and do what we need to do to conquer COVID. The trouble is that people were getting interfered. Their rights were getting interfered with by some of these policies, as you all know. People had to wear masks on airplanes. That was one that was unpopular. And yet Biden administration insisted on that. The vaccine mandates, of course, were being pushed by the Biden administration. So Missouri and Louisiana and the Gateway Pundit and some individuals sued. And their lawsuit was brought in a venue there in Louisiana where the federal district judge is known to be quite fair. And he issued an injunction against the Biden administration. Stop it. It was a wonderful order by the judge telling Biden to stop censoring freedom of speech through social media and so on. That then went up on appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit largely affirmed. They reversed on one point, which was how the Biden administration was communicating with Stanford University, and they did not enforce that injunction, but they enforced most of it. It then went right up to the U.S. Supreme Court on an emergency appeal. And Marilyn, a shocking statistic for you is that 9 times the Biden administration has run to the U.S. Supreme Court demanding an emergency ruling in favor of the Biden administration, and 9 times they've gotten it. Emergency ruling. So the rest of us, Marilyn, as we file appeals in our ordinary cases, and some are quite important to the Supreme Court, 99% of our cases, cert denied. Supreme Court refuses to even consider it. 99% of most appeals to the Supreme Court are rejected, even for review by the Supreme Court. But when the Biden administration runs to the Supreme Court on an expedited basis, hurry, 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 rule for us, stay this opinion, stay the injunction so we can continue to censor, Supreme Court rolls over and gives them that relief. And that's exactly what they did here. So the Supreme Court stayed the injunction, put it on hold so the Biden administration right now can be censoring people through social media as much as it likes while the Supreme Court considers the full case. Now, they've scheduled oral argument for next month. There are a lot of briefs that have been filed. RFK Jr. sought to intervene in the case and should have been allowed to intervene, Maryland. Yet only one justice on the Supreme Court stood up for his right to intervene. So RFK Jr., running for president, and a major part of his campaign is to object to the Biden administration policies about COVID.
Well, why didn't they let him intervene?
They didn't give a reason. They really didn't give a reason for not allowing him to intervene. Justice Alito, to his credit, said in dissent, he was one justice who sided with RFK Jr. And he said, well, it's a little unusual to let someone intervene at the Supreme Court level. Ordinarily, intervention would be down at the trial court level. So it's a little unusual. Let someone come into a case there at what the Supreme Court considers to be a very high level. But Alito agreed with RFK Jr. that this is an extraordinary case, and RFK Jr. now is a candidate for president. And he is just the type of person who's being censored by the Biden administration. The comments by RFK Jr., he wrote a whole book, The Real Anthony Fauci. And that's a target of censorship by the Biden administration, or at least it was during COVID. So here we've got Biden censoring his opponent, RFK Jr. And RFK Jr. should have been allowed to intervene in this case now that he's a candidate for president. And now this is so focused, the issue on whether Biden can censor. And the Supreme Court said, no, we can't be bothered. We're not going to let you intervene. So RFK Jr. is susceptible to this same censorship by his opponent in the election. His opponent in the election can censor RFK Jr. Now, fortunately, Twitter was then taken over by Elon Musk. And I've enjoyed watching your posts there on what's now called X, X.com. And it has become a bit of a free speech haven for many of us. And Marilyn's there, so the audience there, you can find Marilyn and post to her. You can find myself as well and post to me, and I'll look for you. And RFK Jr. is quite active on X, Marilyn. And in fact, he has a following there of, I think, 2.7 million people.
And good for him.
Yeah. And because it's a change in ownership, Elon Musk is not going to listen to the Biden administration. So if it had been the prior ownership still out of San Francisco, they probably would have. But Elon Musk, he's not going to listen to him. In fact, he ended up having to pay a fine because he delayed in turning over some records to the prosecutor of Trump. The Jack Smith's team, they made a demand on Elon Musk for him to turn over some records about Trump's account. And he thought that wasn't right. And he delayed and he fought and he got fined because he fought it. So he's a good free speech person. But there's still YouTube. There's still Facebook. People are still being censored to this day on Facebook.
Well, what YouTube I think is so interesting about this case, as most people know, these cases take a while. And almost all the things that the Biden administration didn't want people to say about COVID and vaccines and masks and all this sort of thing have turned out now to be true. And that's what's so appalling. You can't squelch medical information because it changes all the time. I mean, we don't have time for it, but I give you a list of diseases where they said the cause was one thing. And I'm not talking about things that they thought back in 300 BC, just within my lifetime in medicine, where the official word etiology of something has changed from what I learned in medical school. So the fact that now what the Cochrane review came out and everything that we said about masks 3 years ago not being effective, just plain old ordinary masks, has proven to be true. The vaccines are not truly a vaccine. The CDC changed the definition of vaccine because it doesn't stop you from getting COVID. A vaccine is supposed to stop you from getting the disease you were vaccinated against. All these things turned out to be true.
Yes, they did, Marilyn. So we filed an amicus brief in support of the right to speak out on these medical issues. And as a physician, Marilyn, you put that very well. That medical views change all the time. And my goodness, if there's any field where we need a robust right of freedom of speech, it's in medicine. And that has to be protected against government interference. So we filed a brief, put a lot of citations in it, and urged the court to uphold the injunction against the Biden administration from censoring freedom of speech. And Marilyn, this is so basic. It's really shocking that this case is even before the Supreme Court with the Biden administration urging the right to censor people on social media. And we've got groups on their side too. A lot of liberal groups came in on the side of the Biden administration and said, yes, it should be allowed to censor people on the internet. And where is the left of our generation, Marilyn? We were growing up when they were the free speechers. They were the flag burners. They were the people who would the long hair and the slogans on their jackets. And they were the advocates of free speech. Where are they now when we need them?
Well, that's right. Mario Saviu, UC Berkeley, free speech movement. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, my goodness, times have changed. And do you know what has changed is our clock. We are winding down. And I just can't believe it. Every time you come on, it's like, oh, Marilyn, you went overtime with him. But we'll just have to have you on again. Now, how can people find AAPS and learn more about the case and other things that AAPS is involved in?
So AAPS has an active website, aapsonline.org. That online is part of our name there because there are other AAPS groups. aapsonline.org. We have an account on x.com. So do I. So does Marilyn. I'll give you my email address. I welcome emails. It's aschlafly@aol.com. You can remember the aol.com. I'm a dinosaur here. And it's just my first initial and last name with no period, aschlafly@aol.com. I'm on Facebook, too. And I welcome hearing from people. These are issues where average Americans need to speak out. Our future is in the hands of average Americans today, Marilyn. It's D.C. is gone in the wrong direction. The elite, the deep state, the establishment. We need everyday Americans to speak out on social media, on radio shows, wherever. And please, we want to hear from you.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad everybody heard from you tonight. And we'll have you back soon because there's always so much to talk about. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Marilyn.
And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to America Out Loud Pulse. And I urge you to look at the new website. Our trending cloud is a little bit easier to read now. You can kind of click on a topic you're interested in, and it'll go over to that page. And remember, if you have any questions, you can send them to americaoutloud.com/pulse, and we'll get an answer back to you. And first names are fine. And we've got americaoutloud.shop. And we're so simple here. If you put in the code OUTLOUD, you get a discount on books and some of the products we have there. It's worth taking a peek. You might find something you're interested in buying. So whether you agree or have other opinions, please share the show. And until next week, say it loud. I'm free and I'm proud.